Blog Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, October 2nd, 2018. Want to welcome everyone to the show. Thank you for joining us. Great guest tonight. We have Court Connell in with us, Sam Jackson, Kyle Jackson here tonight. And host-wise, we're a little short. Along with myself, we got Gary Wyatt here. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
I don't know where'd the other two go.
Oh.
We have a backup host and a host that didn't make it, so I don't know.
They flip-flopped on me,
yeah. So. But anyways, before we get too far, I do want to put a disclaimer out there that the views and opinions expressed on this show are of the guest and host. They do not necessarily represent On Wheels Now, its affiliates, or sponsors, and we do not guarantee the accuracy or validity of any information for any purpose. That's not against anybody in particular. That's just for everybody.
Whatever you say.
We got to put that out there once in a while. Again, I want to thank everyone for being here.
I just want to say I looked over at Sam over there, and I hate for everybody to look at the fan going around in circles.
Oh, yep. I want to look at me.
Is this for Facebook Live? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah,
Justin usually uses this. You can face.
Well, I don't want to point at myself.
Put it on Kyle or Gary.
I don't want it on me.
Put it on Gary.
Court.
Okay.
I'll put my hoodie on.
Going to Kyle.
We'll put it in front of a hat. We'll put Dan Fitzgerald's hat in front of it.
Yes.
Well, whatever.
Again, usually Justin either does Facebook Live
or
Rob Street. I guess last we heard, Rob was supposed to be here, and he usually does Facebook Live, but he's not here. And hopefully we give you guys a fair chance to talk, Court and Kyle. But before we get too far into what I guess some issues that happened during the Bombers and stuff like that, we'll get into that. I know there's some things going on this last race. We got a lot of racing to talk about. We'll talk about some races first, if you guys don't mind, different stuff. And then, of course, we got Sam Jacks, which is a super stock points leader right now with us also, right? Am I correct? So, so we got a lot of racing to talk about, and we got some races coming up also. But, again, our guest tonight, Court Connell, thank you for being here. I've seen you around on the track, but I've never really got a chance to meet you, so appreciate you.
I don't get around much.
Is that good or bad? But thanks again for being here.
My pleasure.
Kyle Jacks, of course.
Thanks for having me again.
I've missed like two shows every time you were on. For some reason, I couldn't make it. I think this might even be the first time I've been here while you were here. Now, Sam, I've been here for a couple times.
That was a while ago.
That was okay.
A couple years.
Has it been that long? Man, time flies. Man. When you're having fun, right?
Yeah.
And racing's always fun. We know that. It's never stressful. It's always fun.
Never, never, ever.
I think the last time I shared my voice was about 30 steps higher.
Was it because you got kicked in the nuts or because you grew?
I went from being at my dad's shoulder to above him now.
Okay. So it's the growing pains you're going through. All right. Of course, Gary, you did some racing this past weekend.
Yes.
Out at Pahrump.
The two-day show out there, Harvest Fest weekend.
And they do
some great racing.
It's every year they do this out at Pahrump, at Pahrump Valley Speedway. You can go to PahrumpValleySpeedway.com. But they do 2 days, Friday night and Saturday race.
Yep.
Racing.
And
so
I need to say congratulations to Bobby Schumacher. He swept the weekend in the Bomber division.
He
won both nights.
Is that crazy? I mean,
good for him.
You know, he's only been on that track, a couple different times?
I believe Saturday night, it was his fifth time on dirt. So he won Friday night, which I believe is his fourth, and then Saturday night was his fifth time on dirt. And let me tell you, how he got around that track, I have no clue, but he did it. So Friday night, he came from seventh to win.
Oh, nice.
Saturday night. from seventh to win.
So, hey, some nights where the track might be junk for some guys, it might be good for others on dirt, and that's, I guess, the beauty of it.
Yeah. How he got around those corners, I just say congratulations to him.
Every picture I've seen from that race, it was pointing to the other side of the track, so
pointing to the infield.
Yeah. And, I don't know them guys real well, but I don't know, it was like probably five races ago when he was out there the first time. He spun probably just as many times as I did the first time I went out there, which was this year.
Yes.
A few times all by himself. But
well, learning curve on asphalt. I can't imagine learning curve on dirt.
Yeah. Well, when are you guys going to come out and play in the dirt?
We keep tinkering with the idea. It's one of those things like, oh, we're going to get to the end of the year without tearing the cars up. And, well, yeah, you know how
look
that
where
works.
We are now.
We'll make sure Justin washes your guys' cars. He's supposed to wash mine.
Wait,
never
hold
did.
It. Hold it. They got to beat me to get the car washed.
Oh, is that how that goes?
According to Justin.
Well, apparently a few guys beat you this weekend.
I can tell you, on Friday night, he's got two cars to wash because I finished third. And on Saturday night, he's got three cars to wash because I finished fourth.
Well, I want
to
hear his excuses because he was supposed to wash my car.
I can only imagine.
So. Anyways.
I can only imagine.
Oh, too much old technology for you.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's giving up.
These
nice
kids
thing.
Don't know that old technology.
Clips and things.
I got the suction cup down. I don't know how to open this up.
I think
it's
doesn't just,
down.
Does it just like pull apart?
We're going to leave it. It's going to sit right there.
All right. All right.
Everybody's complaining about that's a nice
the
looking
fan.
Fan.
Yes. Hey, I already said I'm sorry that they're looking at the fan. So.
Hope nobody gets too dizzy.
So all the divisions out at the Pahrump,
yes,
they, race
yeah.
this past weekend, both nights. They had Cam Coupes.
They had mini stocks.
No mini stocks on fire this weekend.
No, not this weekend.
That's scary stuff.
Did yes. you see the video?
No, I saw a picture of it on fire.
Man.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah.
Well, Gary was telling me about it, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And he's showing me the video, and I thought, yeah. That's, and then all of a sudden it just burst into flame. I was like, wow, that's pretty amazing that anybody got out of there without getting hurt, you know. So,
I heard from Dylan Smotherman that the kid driving it like got out while it was still moving. So
still rolling.
Yeah,
he
I don't
bailed
blame
when
him.
It was still rolling.
I probably would have done the same thing.
That's not fun.
Think so. Luckily it was on dirt, right?
Yeah.
And didn't Chad, you said Chad took the water truck over there.
Chad took the water truck and turned the water truck on it.
Yeah. Doused the whole thing. So
what's wrong with that?
It wasn't far from the water truck. It was, probably 20 yards from the water truck where it started on fire.
Right.
So
you guys ever been to Pahrump?
We went out.
Court? Have you raced out there in dirt?
I started racing out there.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I started on dirt
Yeah. We're at if you don't mind. Oh, out here. No kidding. What'd you race?
We had back then it was called Pro Fours. It's pretty much
no
a three-quarter scale.
That was a while ago.
That was a little while ago. That was with
that was the basically an outlaw mini stock, right? Is that what the Pro Fours
it's
were?
It's a three-quarter scale modified.
Oh, okay.
Six cylinder modified.
Yes.
75% weight.
I know. Yeah. I remember being out there and I seen those. They almost look like a modified, but they're this. Smaller scale. Those are cool.
Still have three of them sitting out.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we actually started way back when we was running Legends with Kurt Busch way back when. And we only did that for half a season.
Right.
We went to Super Stocks and totaled the car. And then a few years later, went to the Mini Stocks or the Pro Fours.
The Pro Fours.
And then out to the asphalt.
Where did you find that? Were they running Pro Fours out there and that's where you found them locally? Or
they started
you...
the class out there. There's nothing local, so we went to Northern California, bought our Pro 4s up there.
Oh, no kidding.
Brought them back down here.
I wonder what happened to that, because that seems like a good class, because it's especially for Pahrump, you think it would be a kind of a stepping stone for mini stocks into something, you know, before modified or something like that, but apparently they just
throw them in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really a waste of cars.
Right.
There's three cars sitting out there doing nothing. They can't do anything with them. So.
Go race them. You got three guys here. You go to Pahrump. You got three cars. Go race them. Are they runnable or have they been sitting a while?
They've been sitting a while, but it would take a day to get
them going. I think it would be really cool to see an old division like that kind of pop back up out at Pahrump. That might be something to think about.
Yeah.
Gary,
yeah.
New project for you? Help out. That's what we all need, right?
Another race car.
New projects, man.
No, new projects is what we need. Yeah, that's so. It.
Well, yeah, since then, you haven't raced anything out at Pahrump, or have you been out there at all?
Since the Pro 4, my dad passed away, and we parked those cars, and that was the last of it. And then we moved to Vegas and started dabbling with Legends, and I was driving a Wayne Jackson Legend. And then we went into started Bombers. One day, the sergeants were selling their Bomber, and I just happened to be there and wanted to drive, and so I bought their Bomber and took it out there.
Well, and let me tell you, whatever you guys are doing with those cars, they're fast, so...
I tell you, those cars really. There's nothing special about those cars except that they're taken care of.
Right.
Those cars are taken apart and put together, and you know, and every bushing in them cars is new. And you go out there with some wore out stuff, you're not going to hang with Pat. You take care of your car, and you're gonna run up front.
Well, you know, a lot of guys kind of dismiss that in a stock car division like the Bombers or even a Super Stock that they're just a I don't know what to call them, like, you know, kind of not a sophisticated class or anything.
Yeah.
So they don't tend to go into them and, you know, like you said, just make sure they're raceable and safe.
Yeah. They get gone through on a pretty regular basis, you know, jacking the car up, but put on the stands, just checking everything once over, you know, making nut and bolt and everything, make sure everything's good. Everything's right. You know, we do that with all the cars from day one. You know, it's not worth our time to go out and, you know, granted, we've broken parts before. We break stuff. Everybody does it, but you can minimize that as much as you can.
Right.
Third day of track.
Well, and a lot of guys forget about that is, you know, no matter how good you work on the cars and maintain them, they do break regardless. You're putting these stock cars in under a lot of stress and all that. But that's one of the beauties of racing at one track is you kind of know what direction to go when you have to change parts, but that doesn't mean that the car is going to react the same every race either. Mm-hmm. So you got temperature differences and a lot of different variables that happen, but I mean, how do you guys keep it fast on a race to race basis? I mean, you just constant hard work and maintaining
cars, those cars put together, you know, with all new parts, tightens those cars up. When you tighten those cars up and you make a minor adjustment, that adjustment shows, but it only shows on a tight car. If you got ball joints that are no good or control arm bushings that are no good, and you make an adjustment, you can't really see that adjustment in a car.
Right.
If you have that car just bundled up and tightened all up, then every little adjustment shows, and that's how we've got the cars. Those cars, if you climb underneath them cars, they're brand new cars underneath.
Right.
And that's how we keep it every race.
Okay, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, a lot of guys don't think of that. Even if you like tap the wall or anything like that, that could bend a ball joint or something. A lot of guys just kind of change the tire and think, hey, it's good to go again. But in a Bomber or Super Stock division,
I was gonna say too, with those cars, we've been out pretty much every Friday night for the last 2 or 3 years now. Every Friday night we're out, you know, let's try changing that spring, or let's bring in the camber on that tire a little bit more. And it's always been, we'll try one or two things, and some things we find work and some things we find don't work, and then we're like, this isn't working at all, let's go back to what we had 3 weeks ago,
and you know, and
start again.
Another good point. When you see the cars out there on Friday night practices, we're one of the few tracks that are lucky enough to have Friday night practices. And when you see guys like yourself out there, you do tend to see the guys practicing on Friday nights to be always become a little faster and faster and so on. So it's good to see that pay off, you know, especially on a Saturday on a race night or anything like that. But that brings up a valid point. When you're out there, you're getting seat time, you're getting track time, you're getting just a number of different things out of a Friday night practice on top of, you know, a Saturday race day. So I would think most guys would want to make it a point to have a Friday night practice and go out to, you guys take advantage of that, obviously, as much as you can. Especially for young guys like you, Kyle, do you think that seat time helps on Friday nights? Do you give your inputs to these guys to say, hey, I don't like how this car is feeling, I want it to do something different?
Yeah.
Or do they say, hey, you got to fix it yourself?
That's half and half. Sometimes it's, you know.
We won't put you on the spot.
No, you're all good. Sometimes it's, I think the car's pushing a little bit, so I'll put two turns in the right rear spring and try it again. Sometimes I'm like, it's a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and I just tell, like, Sam, go drive it for practice. So usually he drives it, and they tell my dad, Sam can give a more defined answer on what, you know, to do and all that stuff. So
I think what helps the best on going out every Friday night is that Friday night's temperature is real close to Saturday night's temperature.
Right.
And if you're not out there Friday night and you didn't set your car up, you don't know what's going to happen Saturday. So you're
right
out there Saturday trying to adjust stuff. So the people that are out there on Friday nights are having an advantage because every
right
week is different. The track is different every week. If it had a dust storm one week, the track is different.
Very valid point, right?
Difference in the hot and cold temperatures is, you know, so being there Friday night is as close to Saturday night as you can get. And then being there Saturday for the first practice is that's the closest you can get. And we've already got the car close on Saturday's
right
first practice.
And of course, we got coming up, the championship points night this weekend, and you got humidity in the air and all that. I'm sure that has something to do with it also. Do the differences, let's say, in a bomber with a DOT tire versus, let's say, in a super stock where you have a track race tire, because you guys are limited on do you have a tire rule in that division?
They give you 4 tires your first race. You can check in 1 tire for every race, so you can't show up with new set of stickers every week.
So going from the bombers, of course you ran bombers in the past, did you find that to be difficult to adjust to, or do you like that you have a tire rule and something to kind of even things out for you
like
and all the other drivers?
I like the tire rule. The one thing that I've learned a lot is the race tires are definitely a lot more temperamental when it
right
comes to temperature change and how the car is driving, you know, or even running stagger in that car. If our
right
if we miss our stagger by more than an eighth or a quarter of an inch, the car drives not good.
Wow.
So, you know, and it's a lot more temperamental with the bomber. You know, you just kind of cheap DOT tires. You buy them for $60 a piece and run them until you can
right
see the cords on them, you know. Those things are not quite as temperamental. It's just kind of, you know, drive it and you're more or less relying on the setup of the car to carry you versus
right
super stock. You're relying a lot more on your tires and it shows. So if you go out and you drive the sun out of the car the first 10 laps and you're not there for the last
tires
10,
are gone.
And that's
gotta
been my big problem the whole year. And we're just starting to figure it out, but it's been a big learning curve just in that aspect.
Now you're leading in points right now, but you don't have it locked in yet, do you? You're close though.
Yeah, I think I have 25 or 23 or
something like that.
Okay. Somewhere in that neighborhood. So the objective is just do not crash the car. It'll be
right
fine, I think.
Show up, get a decent finish. Obviously, is like most racers want is you always want it first, but when you're in the points battle, everybody knows you kind of got to be more put more strategy into it sometimes when you show up for a race night than just going out and trying to win every time.
Yeah, a few races ago when I got behind Mason, there was a restart. I was hung up on the outside of him and I was trying real, real hard to get by him and couldn't quite. And I was racing Matt Larson the whole time. It was, I scared myself a couple times trying after I cooked tires up real good.
Right.
The car started to get real loose on me, and it was kind of one of those things like, yep, we're gonna sit back here and we'll ride for third or fourth. I don't want to crash tonight, you know.
Right. Do you think that racing in the bomber division helped you at all in the super stocks?
Yeah,
not just seat time, but in how the cars handle and so on.
I wouldn't say it much in how the cars drive themselves. Like, I came from a Bandolero and then to a bomber. That kind of teaches you a lot about feeling what the car is doing. There's a lot of body roll,
right,
and that it's not quite as much of a go-kart where, you know, point and shoot. I think those things are, when you get them set up decently, they're fairly easy to drive, and it teaches you a lot, so you can focus on how you're racing people, setting up passes, you know, what you're doing to improve how you're driving. And then once you get up into the faster cars, then you're not spending as much energy on like, oh, how can I pass that guy? You know,
right,
you know, how can I get closer to him? You're a little more focused on driving the car. So if you can kind of build that up while you're still racing something a little bit slower, then it makes it easier.
Well, it seems like you've been real good and consistent in that super stock division. Do you have your eyes set on maybe some other modifieds or super lates or anything like that? Maybe a couple races here or there, if you don't mind me asking, mm-hmm, you without giving away anything, if you do have something planned.
I wish I had something planned. I don't know. It's
seems like Court has to race it in it first, and then you guys get to race it.
That's how it goes. He breaks it in.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys can still hear me.
We can still hear you. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I don't know if they know this, but I plan on building a modified if they get the engine rule set at
okay
a spec engine. And I'll probably pass that down again, you know. It's fun working with these boys and passing cars down.
Everybody's sharing that at the same time, me and Sam are.
That's kind of news to me.
Wait, these guys are smiling pretty big
well,
now.
That's kind of how it went with the other
right.
two cars. It just, these boys need to move up, and, you know,
right.
I get tired of it. I get out there and race, and, you know, and it's too hot for me, so I just move on.
Well, did you mention the engine rule? Is that something? Oh, you're messing with my hearing there. The modified rule pack that they ran in the past versus what they brought on this year, is that making a difference in why you want to race?
Yeah, right now
modified?
They're still confused on whether which engine they're going to use. I think they're going to the sealed engine.
Sealed engine, like the super stock, or talking about like a 602
crate
motor.
Okay, yeah,
crate motor. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, once they have the whole class the same motor, that's when I want to be in it. I want to.
So they do have both. They have their quote unquote open motor, which is like the
super stock motor.
Yeah,
same super stock.
Race. Okay, but they also have the sealed motor, the 602.
Right.
Crate.
Like Doug
okay.
Hamm right now, he's blowing everybody away, and he's got an open
the
motor.
Open motor.
Now
okay.
Doug Hamm's a great driver, and I think if he had a sealed motor, he'd still be up front. But
right.
But the fact of the matter is, you don't know if it's Doug or if it's the motor. So let's make all the motors the same,
right?
And let's put the drivers and see what the drivers do.
Well, you know, and it's tough. And I understand on Tim's end of it, that's a tough call because at the beginning, before he went in with the 602 rule, he brought in a lot of the current modified drivers, not anybody else, and had a discussion on what they want to do. And a lot of guys elected to want to have an open option. So if they didn't want to be stuck with a sealed motor, that they could go to this open option. And a lot of guys, it was probably a majority that wanted some type of an open option. So that's, you know, why it's there.
Yeah, it's understood. There's a lot of money out there in them open
right.
motors. So,
but I guess, you know, now's a good chance to see it track tested and to say, okay, hey, because that's how you perfect anything is the same thing as working on your cars. And you got to see it in action on the track and all that and kind of get the input over time. And that's, you know, valid input saying, hey, if we had everybody on the same exact thing, then now we can look at it, you know, as an option.
I think it'd still be a good option. I think they just need to maybe fine tune like a small weight penalty or something.
Like
you know, 50
pound
if you put 50 pounds and you got bolted in the right
side
or
something. Right.
Yeah. So I think if once they fine tune with that, and it sucks, it's kind of a slow, tedious process.
But that's a tough call with weight penalty, because didn't you guys go through like years ago a weight?
Oh, yeah.
Penalty issue. So that's tough to say that's what you want now is a weight penalty where didn't you guys get penalized? And I don't want to bring up old wounds or anything like that, so we won't get too far into that, but wasn't there an issue with added weights and things like that because you guys were too fast?
Yeah, they kept adding weight on us, but it worked out to our advantage. We added the
okay.
weight and went a couple tenths faster for the next race, and
and
the
of course,
officials are shaking their heads.
Well, that's good. You know, anytime – something is implemented and you can disprove something, then you know that always means something at your race program, you know. So I won't bring up old wounds or anything like that, but it's funny you brought up, hey, maybe we could throw a weight penalty at something, you know.
Well, I think weight penalties are good because it's kind of Tim's job as race director is he's trying to have close competition. So
right.
you know, if you've got a pack of, I don't know, eight cars that are all running pretty comparable times,
sure.
you know, and then you have one guy that's outstanding and broken out a little bit,
right.
that's Tim's job to kind of reel that guy back in and make it so it's more of a fair competition, you know,
right.
as much as it's come and bit us in the butt a little bit in the past, but you know, I think there's a valid place for it, and I think that, you know, it's probably in Tim's purview to try to make the competition as even
right.
as he can.
Well, you know, and that's what keeps bringing fans back is the close racing, you know, when guys are side to side and I'm going to say it, and banging doors. That's what
oh,
brings fans back.
Yeah. When are we going
to
get to that?
Yeah, we're getting to that. We're getting to that. So there's a good segue into it. You know, close racing, you know, is kind of what fans want to see. You know, and just like an accident on the side of the road, fan, you know, just like any driver, fans like to see that. They don't like to see anybody get hurt. I know nobody on the pit side wants to see anybody get hurt, but accidents do happen.
Yeah.
So
I'm really happy Vinny wasn't hurt after that crash. He hit that wall really hard.
Right.
I gave you the race car.
Just no. But
so,
yeah, he really hit that wall hard. I'm glad he's not hurt. You know.
No, and again, I'm going to put it out there. We're not taking any phone calls.
Nope.
So we just want to make sure you guys get a chance to talk about, you know, to just talk about the your view on the incidents and all. And I didn't see it myself. I guess there's some video out there, and we're talking about the last bomber race out at the LVMS. This last race, there's an incident between Court Connell and Vinny Rucci Jr. on the track, and obviously five different people always have five different angles, five different views, and not to say any one person is right, and not to say any one person is wrong, but you know it's good to be able to clear the air
I'll tell you, everybody in the stands can tell you how to drive your car.
Exactly.
They can
better
all
than
tell
anybody.
You what happened in that wreck. They can all tell you exactly what happened, but everybody's entitled to their opinions, and what happened is different than a lot of people's opinions.
Right. And this is my only saw, and I did see like 5 seconds of the video that was out there, and I saw something different than some other people were telling me their input, and I was like, well, you got to think, you know, and this is my opinion, is like where you were on the track, you're at an acceleration point, you know, and where it looked like, and I did it small frame to frame, and it looked like, you know, I don't know if he had a low tire, cut tire, anything. It was hard to tell, but you're in that angle where it may, you know, you may have not been able to control it going up into that, out of that turn four, but that's why we're here. You know, there was an incident. You weren't involved in it, Kyle, but you're a points leader. You're under 18. You're a minor.
Yeah.
Out at the track. So you, who's your guardian out there? Is it?
I have it either my dad or Court.
Okay, so that's who technically speaks for you at the track. Usually it's a driver, correct?
Yeah.
But you weren't involved in the incident at all. But you are control of the people in your own crew and all that. Yes. But you're a separate driver, Court, in your own car and all that. So you speak for yourself. In your own team, under that incident, obviously. So what? I guess what happened out there? I mean, we all have our own. I didn't see the race, so.
Right. Like I said, everybody's got their opinion. They're entitled to their opinion, but hopefully, I'll be able to change you guys' opinion. So what happened out there? What looks so bad is Kyle and Vinny are fighting for the points lead.
Right. And speaking of that, they're tied in points as we speak right now.
Right. That'll be fun this week.
Right. You're right. Exactly. It'll be a fun weekend. So, but we'll get to that.
So the wreck, if you watch the video, and anybody that's just popping up on our computer and looking at the video, it looks intentional. I'll give them that, you know, and everybody's basing their opinions on that. But I'll explain the lap to you, you know, coming out of turn two. Coming out of turn two, I was pretty hot coming up on Vinny. And about mid-track, I noticed Vinny was lacking power. So I had to dart down to the inside. I mean, it was he was lacking so much power, it could have caused an accident at that point.
Sure.
So I darted down to the inside. As we enter turn three, if you watch the video, you'll notice I'm all the way down on the yellow line as far as I can be.
Right.
Okay? I mean, I can go down in the bottom, but I'm holding my lane.
Right.
Just like, you know, anybody would. So, and Vinny's down on my door, you know, and just like any racer would, he was doing normal. The only difference if we were swapped is I would have had 2 or 3 more inches in between us.
Okay.
So Vinny was holding me down, and when he was holding me down like that, entering or in about the middle of turn three, you'll see his fender pop up.
Okay.
When his fender pop up, the first thing that we're gonna pause right there. The first thing that entered my mind was I hope that didn't cut my tire. Okay. So I don't know that it cut my tire.
Okay.
I don't know if anything happened. So as we're in the middle of turn three and turn four, my car starts to turn, and I start to turn away from Vinny. At that point, I mash the throttle because I'm thinking my tire's good. I'm turning. And as soon as I hit the throttle, the thing turned right uphill into Vinny. And what it did is – so I separated from him just a little bit. And when I hit that throttle, this is when I found out my tire's flat because it turned right and went straight up into his car. When it went up into his car – my bumper, I believe it went behind his tire. Somebody told me that it was pulled pretty hard behind his tire, but he was full throttle trying to avoid the accident, trying to push me out of the accident, which is what he should have done.
Right.
So at this point, I hit the brakes. I lock them up. So Justin mentioned last show that there was no smoke. There was smoke. You watch that video closer, there's smoke. So I locked my brakes up. Now, you got to think, I had milliseconds
right
to react. Okay, so when I lock my brakes up, we've already got 45, 50 miles an hour momentum.
Right, you're coming out of the corner already. Right?
Plus, he's full throttle trying to stop the wreck from hitting the wall,
sure.
Which is exactly what he should have done. He did nothing wrong.
Right.
The only thing that went wrong was he come down a little too close to me.
Right.
And I don't blame him for that. I probably would have done the same.
Sure.
So somehow his fender got in my tire, and it popped, and I got up into him when he was full throttle, and I'm on the brakes. Now he's literally pulling me into
right.
the wall, which looks like I'm pushing him from
right.
the video.
Okay.
But that's not what happened. I could hear his motor full throttle, and my brakes were locked up. So we went into the wall off of momentum only.
Right.
It was our momentum was carried right up into the wall, and that's where it's at. And,
okay.
And, you know, I don't know. I feel bad for Vinny. I feel more bad for Pete because
right.
me and Pete
sure.
have never had any problems.
Right.
So.
Well, that has a lot to say also. If anybody's raced with you out there and know your history out there, this is not something you intentionally do or ever really have done in the past. So that's got to be looked at. You
I'm
know.
Glad you brought that up because now that people understand my point of view on the race and what
right.
happened in the race, I've been out there 4 years.
Right.
I've never dented anybody's car.
Right.
I have been spun on the last lap and never retaliated with anybody.
Right.
I mean, I was in points championship with the Superstocks.
Right.
And Larson spun me on the last lap of the race. I went in the pits and I yelled at him through my
right.
window. That's all I did.
Right. And
I didn't threat. It wasn't
who
a threat.
Done that, right?
It wasn't a threat. It was, why did you just
right.
do that? What was your purpose in that? That's what I said to him. Why
sure.
why did you do that? That's all. And I got fined for that, which I took the fine because I yelled at the guy.
Right.
And I was speeding in the pits. I sped off. I was pretty upset. But anyway, being spun in
okay.
the Superstock on the last lap, you know, that's upsetting. But I've never retaliated with anybody. I've never wrecked anybody. I've never hurt a car. Only time I've ever hurt a car is when I hurt my own car.
Right.
Spun it myself for some reason. That's all.
Now, you know, and your sequence of events through that corner, a lot of people don't understand. You're like you said, you're talking milliseconds.
Oh, the whole thing starts to finish is like 5 seconds,
right.
you know, or 4 seconds.
And, you know, and obviously from the stands or from, you know, all the way across the track on the pit side stands and all that, it looks like it's taken longer than it is, you know, but you're in the seat, everybody knows how quick that stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if anybody's ever hit the wall or anything like that, even by themselves, you know, they'll tell you, it just happened. But other people seeing it say, well, look like it took a lot longer than it
yeah.
did. You know, this is just a different view from the seat.
Well, some people are always also asking why Kyle and I had switched cars that night. Well, the reason Kyle and I had switched cars is because there's two reasons. One, we got the spare car just a tad faster in the
mm-hmm.
practice the night before. So he wanted to take that car. Also, we call it his fast car. That's what we call the
sure.
car that I was in was his fast car, the
okay.
one I wrecked. In that car, we had a couple rockers kept coming loose on it. So we didn't want to chance that when he's in the points race. So we wanted to put him in the other
very
car
valid.
That's more reliable. So that's why
right.
I was in his car.
Okay.
And Kyle had just done days and days worth of body work and paint on
right.
that car. I did not go out there and intentionally wreck that
right.
car. You know,
and I think a lot of people need to understand that you guys – and you know, talking about how much time you put into your cars, you're not using going out there to beat these things up. It'd be different if you came out with something that looked like a demolition car all of a sudden and be like, well, hey, this guy might be intentionally wanting
yeah.
to do something.
yeah.
You know, and it's not like that.
We have a little incentive to not go do that, you know. We spend a fair amount of time making our car look nice, and we try hard to do that.
You know, and I forgot to mention that in that when we took the tire off at the track, there was, we measured it was an 8-inch gap in that tire.
Oh, wow.
So if anybody's wondering if the tire went down slow or fast, it's 24 pounds coming out of an 8-inch gap. It went down fast.
Right. That's pretty
you know,
quick
was,
hole. Well, you know, and
nice
I only seen a few seconds, like I said, of the video, and I did a frame-by-frame, and everything you said kind of fits into what I seen.
It's
that,
plausible, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So take that plausible.
Absolutely.
Take that plausible and then put my character, and the people that have the bad opinions and think it's intentional –
right.
Are the people that haven't got to know me for 10 minutes.
Right.
If they know me for 10 minutes, when I pulled off the track, everybody that knew me came over and asked if I was okay. First thing they asked,
right.
am I okay? Second thing they asked is what happened.
Right.
They didn't ask, why did you do that?
Right. What happened?
What happened?
Exactly.
And
well,
explain it. You know, that's the people that know me. People
right.
that don't know me have their opinions and they're entitled to
well, you know, and in your history out there, you know, is a fast driver, and nobody likes the fast guy.
Right.
First off, because you know, hey, that's the first thing. It's the understatement, but you know, but nobody, you know, obviously they need to look at your history out there and the races that you've been in and all that and leading up to this point, and, you know, and what you explained makes a lot of sense to me, and that's again my opinion. You know, I don't know. I know a lot of different people see things differently. I don't know what your view, Gary, is.
There's three of us over here. Just keep that in mind.
Can you turn the no, I'm just kidding. No. I'm just joking.
Get a full view of it.
Yeah.
You know, and I've heard both different sides. You know, and again, everybody's going to have their own different opinion.
A few different sides.
You know.
So, Mr. Wyatt, let's hear your opinion. What do you think?
And again, I don't know. This is the first time. I mean, I've seen you at the track and stuff, and I've heard your name, and I know I haven't heard your name out there as somebody out there wrecking people's cars and doing anything stupid. You know, so this is my opinion
as
unbiased.
And I think you said that on one of the live feeds last week was you're not known for wrecking cars.
Right. Right. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm not trying to protect my name, but I'm also trying to protect Kyle here. He was put. A lot of people said a lot of bad things to him, and it wasn't right.
And he wasn't,
you know,
involved. He wasn't involved in the accident at all.
He was leading the race and way away from everybody. Everybody just thought because I hit Vinny, it had something to do with Kyle. It had nothing to do with Kyle.
Well, you know, and that's the hard part about like having team cars on the tracks. A lot of people think that's why there's teams out there. It's the one guy can get out there and cause problems for, you know, for the you know, leader or something like that. And you, Gary, you come from a different bombers as
yeah.
team cars, but
yes.
you guys intend to go out there and say, hey, you need to take this guy out. Does that ever happen, Gary?
No.
You know,
they think we've said that.
Well, exactly. You know, and Gary's coming from a past of where he's been, you know, champion before, and nobody likes a champion for whatever reason, right? You've got a lot of haters, I'm sure. Right?
Lots of them.
So, you know, so you got to look at the facts, I guess. And, you know, again, we should all be innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah. I think our team is we have a whole row of people there, including the sergeants. And
right.
We have, and the Smothermans, and that's our team. And our team is to help each other get our cars back together.
Right. You're on the track, you're competitors, but at the same time, your teammate.
On the track, if I can catch him, I'll push him out of the way.
Right.
But they keep putting me
in. I don't blame you.
It's a learning experience for you, Kyle.
The problem is they keep putting me in the slow car, so I can't catch him.
That's the reason they put you in the slow car, so you don't move him.
So, you know, and I appreciate you being here, Court, and explaining, you know,
no, I appreciate
the angles that most people probably don't see. It'd be different, with different factors involved. But, you know, exactly what you said is kind of what I seen. And before you even mentioned that, I was telling these guys, hey, I see something different on this video, but not too many people.
That was by far the most frustrating thing, is everybody's like, oh, Court went out there and knocked that guy into the fence. And it's like it doesn't make sense on a lot of levels. That was our good car that Kyle had run all year in Court. I won championship in the car, and Court got second.
Right.
And that car got third in the championship last year, and that car has won.
Right. Why would you want to cheer
Yeah, like why would we do that, first off?
Car.
And then we're not in the business of showing up to hurt people, you know? If we were like, oh, you know what, we're going to wreck Vinny, you know, we'd stick a bumper in his tire, and that would mess up his race.
Well,
why would we go
lay
him into the fence, you know?
And not to say, Kyle, you and Vinny have had some close races, and there's a reason why you guys are neck and neck in points is because you guys have all season been racing together, and a bomber division is not a no-touch class. Not to say it's a demolition class, but it's a stock class. You can't control these cars sometimes, you know. You can try, but we all know that these are bombers that we're talking about on DOT tires, trying to push these things past the limits and all that. And, you know, and I think a lot of people look at that and think there's other motives involved.
I think it's hard to look at that wreck and place a whole lot of blame. You know, it's close racing. It's the second last race of the year. You know, Vinny's, you know, they were tied to the championship going to that race. Vinny's trying as hard as he can to get up and catch Kyle, you know. And they touched, you know, and it's just close racing. You know, it's happened to everybody, you know.
Right.
It's hard to look at that and say, you know, they went into the corner right there and Court had the the sole intention of laying him in the fence right there. Or it's hard to look at, you know, Vinny went into the corner and, oh, I'm going to chop him right here and see if I can pop a tire. It's, you know, it's racing. It's a risky take when you show
and
up
it doesn't
car.
Make sense, like you said, to intentionally go out there and tear things up or anything like that. But the good thing is you guys are going into this championship night tied for points. So this is going to be something else. If you haven't been to the track, this is going to be one of the nights you want to go to the track and watch the Bombers out there. Cause you got to be nervous.
Kyle. I am. I do think the Bombers do put on a good show every week. I agree.
I'm a super stock fan, but I like the Bombers too. Just to let
because
you know.
You're there. That's
I talked about that in the past. Just for some reason, I just love this. I used to race super stock. That might be part of the reason, but I like the super stocks. I like the concept of it. I like the everything about it. You know, but Bombers obviously are no slouch either. They're a fun division. They're an entertainment class.
I like racing where you know you. Touch or whatever, but you know, I think clean racing, like absolutely touchless racing, it's fun and all that. You know, it could be a little exciting. So I'm not the type to go out there and completely destroy somebody.
Right.
Or, I mean, I have spun somebody out because I get over my head. But,
hey,
you know,
that was your brother in Bangalore.
Right.
It was me.
Oh,
it was the other way around.
You're telling me that.
That's brotherly love.
That's a perfect example of our team racing.
Right.
He took
if
him
we
out
have,
for the championship.
If we have to wreck somebody for a championship, or
keep,
even if it's our own brothers.
Yeah. Keep it in the family, right?
You know, another good point is both Kyle and Vinny are going out in there, not their fast cars. Both their fast cars are gone. So it's going to be a good race.
It's definitely going to be a good race. If you go out there for anything, at least go out there to watch the Bombers race this weekend. Regular, you go to LDMS.com, click on the Bullring link, and check out the schedule. It's going to be a great night of racing. All the NASCAR-sanctioned divisions are going to be racing this weekend for championship points, and all the USCLI divisions also will be racing as their points championship this weekend. It's going to be a great night of racing. Super stocks.
Let's not forget those Thunder cars will
Thunder
be
cars.
There as
again,
well.
Again, this is for you guys out there. We put it out there. Somebody got mad at us for not mentioning too much about the Thunder cars. But you know what? We put it out there all the time to say, you know what? We want to know what you're doing, your division, your team. We want you to come in here and talk about it yourself. You know, we try not to
come in, call in, whatever. I'm at the Bullring all the time. If you see me, stop me.
We can't think of everybody. We can't talk about everybody. We try to, but if we're not intentionally forgetting about anybody. So if you do want to promote your division, putting this out there for Chris Bosley, is welcome to come in here and talk about the Thunder cars.
I've sent him a message on Facebook.
Speaking of Rucci and all them guys, we got them coming in. Not next weekend, next Tuesday, our next show, we have Jimmy Parker Jr. coming in here in the Super Late Models. We try not to make it a Bomber or a Super Stock show. We try to spread it out a little bit, but we can't always do that. But the exciting thing right now is the Bombers, and that's why we're talking about the Bombers. And, of course, with Cord in here, with the incident that just happened,
we'll have the Rucci's in. To give their side and point of view, just like you did. So
we're sorry that our other two hosts, unfortunately, they're the ones that have their Facebook Live page out there. So we'll.
I got to play filler.
We might have to have you guys come back in. So we'll see what happens. But it's going to be good shows coming up here. And it'd be cool if, Court, if we see you out there in a modified. I think that Tim made a right decision in doing something with the motor packages, even though there is still, you know, some questions about it, but it was too much, I think, for the guys to run that Lucas Oil package locally.
It was three cars that showed up and Aaron Warren won all of them, you know?
Exactly. Well, exactly. And they've changed over the years. So when they first came out, I don't know how many, 10 years ago, whatever it was, you know, the concept was good and it worked and the division built up, but over time, man, them things are expensive to run in that Lucas Oil series. But
I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, you know, but they do keep them going. Of course, Aaron McMoran, you mentioned that he's in the top 10. I think he's sitting 10th in points. We got Justin Johnson out there, second in points in the Lucas Oil Modified, which he was out this past week, past race in the local race here. So I don't know what car he was in or anything, because they have a different motor package, of course. But it's good to see local guys out there and doing well in that traveling series, you know. So it'd be cool to see Cord, if you do get in something. At least we'll know the direction these guys are going.
At least we'll know where he's at.
Yeah, I'd like to get in there with, in race with Aaron again. I raced with him in the Bombers. It was a great race with him. It was a real clean race.
Yeah, he's
and Aaron is 10th in the
Lucas
Oil Modified. Yes,
just in the yeah.
Shout out to Aaron.
Yeah. So, but and Jason Irwin, of course, races here locally in the Legends.
He's
top 10. Yeah, 8th in points. So. Taylor Minch, first in points for Lucas Oil Modifieds, which came from the old ASA Truck Series he used to race, which is now, of course, the late model truck series for us, but he used to race in trucks. So.
Justin Johnson's second
place. So. But maybe we get one of you guys in one of the late model trucks one of these nights. It's a spec series.
I'm not opposed to anything.
All right.
Whatever I can get my hands on.
I'm going on the gas pedal.
Yep, there you go. It's all in the setup. Those things are kind of, well, you know what a 602 crate motor puts out, not a whole lot of horsepower. They're limited, and it's against a sealed motor program. So, puts a lot more in the setup and the driver's hands. Yep. But anyways, so Court, sponsors and things like that, you want to mention?
Sonder Graphics is our sticker girls, and they do a great job. They every time we scratch up some stickers, they're right there to fix them. So other than that, my company sponsors these two boys. So.
Okay, what's your company?
Sierra Nevada Enterprise.
Okay,
so we do dirt work, asphalt,
oh,
concrete.
Okay, so you do like small jobs, big jobs, parking lots.
Yeah, commercial and residential. Yeah.
Okay. Best way to get a hold of if anybody wants any asphalt work is what, Facebook? You got a website?
Our numbers are everywhere. Anywhere it says S&E, our numbers are on the vehicle, on their cars. It's all over. You know, our shirts that we wear, everything. It's just
right now. And that's something we try to promote is looking at the race cars at the track and seeing what sponsors are on them, because those are the companies that help keep the racers alive. There you go, S&E.
Is there a model?
There's a phone number.
Is there a model? Wait, hold on. Turn around some more. Humility, gratitude, kindness, and some dirt work. 702-348-5510.
Hey, they could use it out at the dirt track out there, and maybe have
maybe some new dirt out there.
Put some asphalt on it. We have a nice half-mile asphalt there. I said that for years. I said we should asphalt the half-mile and make the 3/8 of dirt. But that's just me. Because then you can run the K&N, you know, the K&N
cool
series and the SRLs.
Isn't Pahrump real high banked?
Yeah, Pahrump's kind of.
That'd be
fairly
high
banked. I think the bull ring will make an actual good bull ring dirt track. But, hey, that's just my opinion.
What do we know?
What do we know?
We're just a bunch of racers. We don't know nothing.
Exactly.
But, anyways, you...
Kyle.
So, what are your plans? You got any strategy going into this race? Because what have they been doing on the starts on these? Have they been inverting with the top eight or
since? I want to say one race before the summer break.
I think it was the last race in June.
Since those races until last race, they're doing full field inverts just automatically.
I'm gonna say we had that idea because that makes such a good race to have you fast guys start in the back and really work your way through the field.
Yeah.
But it does cause, racing incidences fighting through the field.
I get pissed off too easily, so I just spin the dude out. Can't help it. I was like,
try to get as many.
Earlier in the years, that was automatic invert.
Yeah, they used to wire the track too.
Yeah, you didn't even. Well, just shortly after that, it was automatic invert. If you're first in points, you start last unless there's a new guy coming. But it was automatic.
Mm. Well, back then too, if you had a station wagon, you got to start pole, right?
Yep. Had a station wagon, you started pole. Yeah.
But I miss those days of Bombers. Yeah. When you see the big Cadillacs and
that was back when they were real throwaway cars.
Right,
station wagon.
I heard Jerry Green still had his radio and air conditioner in his car.
No, I don't doubt it.
Howard Smith had everything in his car still, and it was a wagon.
Would you like AC in your car?
my mother was in a convertible GTO.
Oh, wow.
So she raced.
No way.
Full roll cage.
Wow.
She was a 1976 Circle Daisy champion out of Craig Road Speedway.
Wow.
Yeah.
Craig Road. No kidding. So you come from a long history.
Yeah,
here.
Mom and Dad, everybody's raced.
Bunch of old guys.
Did you go to? You didn't make it to our.
Easy how you say that.
You didn't make it to our Craig Road Speedway reunion by chance, did you?
I
did, we did that. What was that? 2013. Mm-hmm. We held a Craig Road Speedway reunion, and we had upwards of 70, almost 80 people there, and 20 past drivers, and we have pictures and stuff like that, and we're talking around.
Don't ask where those pictures are, because we don't.
I've got them. So. Tossing it around them to do so, a lot of work went into putting that thing together and getting all the guys together, and just timing was huge. But man, we had some great response from that, and we had people bring pictures and different things from the past, and it was just amazing. It was cool to see.
I'm glad I missed that. That would have been awesome.
Yeah, my fault. I'm not a social media person, but we didn't get the word out there as well as we probably could have, but we had some last minute people, and the next day was like, oh man, I just found out about this. Well, that was last night. So, oops. So we tossed it around, maybe doing it again, but man, just so much work to put that together. But that's cool that you come from history from Craig Road Speedway. Have you been to Craig Road Speedway?
I was there when I was just a kid, and they already shut down. It was just weeds on the track. We
right.
went and walked the track and stuff, but that's all I've ever seen. I watched it get demolished. We lived right out
that
on
sucks.
Fifth Street, so
yeah,
we got to see the track quite often when I was real young. But
yeah, oh well.
But we got a lot of pictures. I got pictures hanging all over my garage.
No
my
kidding.
Mom and my dad,
we'll definitely let you know if we end up doing something again. And for you guys, that's just the word, Craig Road.
Yeah,
Speedway.
I hear all about it. I've never seen it.
Right? Didn't Wayne?
Oh, yeah.
He used to race out there.
Oh, yeah. My dad and Wayne Jacks were best friends.
No kidding.
Yeah. And so me and Ron kind of grew up together. And,
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of the history. I'm actually surprised at how many people came from the Craig Road Speedway lineage, and we're kind of seeing it now with guys like yourself at the local track, the Bull Ring, which went through a couple different name changes over the
kids
years.
And the grandkids are racing out here.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Well, now, yeah, because you guys, when you think back when you were in the Bandoleros, that probably seemed like a long time ago.
Oh, it feels like forever ago. And it was like, oh, man, that was 7 years ago.
Can't imagine. I mean, I guess that gives a good avenue for young drivers, which, we didn't have that luxury. I had mini stocks. That's what we used to have. And when the Legends first came out here to the track, that's what killed the mini stock division. And
everybody wanted a Legend car.
Yep, everybody wanted a Legend car, and I was so mad at them things, it wasn't even funny, and then but they weren't going away. They just kept growing and growing. And that division probably had, I don't remember, 30 cars probably at one point.
That's crazy.
When they mixed
or
all
more.
The or more. Yeah.
When they have they have the Legend Car Nationals here sometimes, I think back in our first year when we started, they had over like 50 or 60.
Oh, yeah.
They were pushing 70
yeah.
Legend cars our first time.
They're having like
and cross
D-mains and D-mains. And
speaking of that, they do have the Legend Car Nationals this month. I want to say
16th and 17th
or something like that. Yeah. So that is coming up this month. The 26th and 27th, actually.
The week after.
Yep, the U.S. Legend Asphalt Nationals here locally. So if you do like the Legends, which I still got a kind of a
it's a good
towards
show.
About.
A lot, it's a good show, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah,
I'll give them that. They're good to watch.
And they got some of the best drivers that come out here
and
race. So it's a good, good place
they
to come out.
They haven't come from back east and all that.
Right. But you guys ever think about going into like a division like that, Legends or? You have the opportunity, obviously.
We
ran a race earlier in February.
Go ahead, finish your sentence.
I cut him off, didn't I?
Brotherly love happening here.
Oh, was it February?
November.
Earlier than that, wow. But, yeah, our grandpa called us up and said, hey, there's a Legend car race down here, whatever the day was. And he goes, you guys want to come down and drive one of our cars? So, anyway, so he had his car, And the plan was Kyle was supposed to race it Friday. I was supposed to race it Saturday. So Kyle ran it Friday night. And then Donna Gunther, she was down there too. And she wasn't feeling well. She was getting sick or she had hurt her arm, I think. And she said, hey, Kyle, go ahead and jump in this car. And so I got my grandpa's car and we pitched a head gasket. And the first time I went on the track with it and wow. We changed the motor just in time for the race. And we went out and blew the motor up in the race.
Yay.
Kyle went out.
That's always fun.
Kyle went out and starred towards the back and finished second.
Third.
Nice. He finished third behind Tyler Frobozy and,
oh, wow.
And Clark.
Good finish.
He did pretty good. So cool. That was a fun experience.
Of course, Donna Gunther, name from the past. I remember her as the Secretary of Speed when she used to race a lot out there. That was a long time ago. Not to age her or anything, but from my memory.
A long time ago.
Well, a little while ago. A couple of years ago. But so any thoughts of getting back into the Legends at all? Kyle?
I almost did it again. I don't think I want to because I've seen how bad those crashes get. And those cars, they have like 3/4 roll cage or something to that. So I don't know how they word it, but you know.
You like the full size. The
I like
full
the full size
car.
It's got the extra 4 feet next to me. That car is, that car has too much power for too little weight, in my opinion.
Right.
So that's a little small. So.
I think they're a blast. I love
driving
them.
I will give that. They are really fun to drive, but they're not. I don't feel like they're safe as, you know, a bomber.
I think Havasu is a perfect track for those cars. It's a real small, flat, quarter-mile track. You never get moving too quick, you know.
Right.
Anyways, I had a blast driving those things. You know, if it came back up again, yeah, I'd do it. And I want to go try the road course at least once in a Legend car. That seems like it would be a total blast. But that's one of those things. They go out there and they go through parts really quickly. And Legend car parts are not cheap.
Not cheap, right?
Same with the Bandos.
You know, again,
all about that.
And that's a downfall of like a spec division. Usually it's the initial cost, but then you got to buy the parts from the certain vendors. So, but Court, any kind of last words?
I'm glad that Vinny's okay and Pete, sorry about your car and if you need help fixing it, let me know. We'll do what we can.
Right. You know, and that's the point. Yes. You know, Chuck had come on his thing was, you know, hey, there's other people involved and all that, and you know, no, and nobody's really out there to try to hurt each other, or anybody, and you know, everybody knows there's other cars on that track that can get involved if there's any you know, buddy going after each other, which you know that's. I don't think it's happening. You're at the last race of the season and close points battle between Kyle and Vinny Rucci Jr. And you know, that's always going to be heated no matter what. So, but I'm glad you're able to come on and kind of clear up a few things. I do see your valid point of what happened, you know, and I hope a lot of other people.
Anybody
that
doesn't
that.
After I've explained it is a liberal, and I don't care about them anyway.
Oh, okay. That's where we're going.
Okay, let's turn it on the political part of the show. We are all gun owners here, right? We'll start with that.
I'm not even the one that's upset. It's just, oh, we're going there.
No, you know, and again, you know, I hope a lot of everybody can see the open to. Know that you're sincere about what you're saying and that you know it shit happens.
Yeah,
you know?
it wasn't intentional,
right.
And you know, I apologize. Some other guys got wrecked, and that's just part of racing. And you know, I've been wrecked. There's a car wrecks in front of me, so it's just
we've all been there. Yep. And again, thanks
more than
Court,
once.
Yep. Thanks for Connell for being here. Kyle Jacks, of course. Sam Jacks. Looking forward to watching you guys race this weekend. It'll be a great race. So. And again,
next week,
yep,
Jimmy Parker Jr.
Next week. Make sure you're here live next Tuesday at 6 p.m. at onwheelsnow.com. Thanks again, guys, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Good time.
Thanks for coming on, guys. Thanks for listening.